Proverbs chapter 8 this morning. Proverbs chapter 8. Did I leave out anyone that needs to say something? Just wondering. Proverbs chapter 8. Are y'all hot? You're cold? Just right? I got to do this. How many of you are hot? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you are cold? Raise your hand. Oh, man. Okay. Well, we might continue. Normally, it's like half, right? Let's see if we can turn that down. Oh, how many of you are just right? Okay. Just right. Thank you. So Proverbs chapter 8 today, we're going to attempt to look at the whole chapter. Yes, some of you are laughing. Oh, ye of little faith. If you open your Bible and you look at Proverbs 8, my Bible has chapter 7 and 8, and you can see both of them next to each other. And I believe that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that these chapters are placed next to each other for a reason. In chapter 7 and chapter 8, you have two women, two ladies who are addressing us or speaking to us. In chapter 7, it is the unfaithful wife or the adulteress. In chapter 8, it's the lady wisdom who is addressing us. And so really what you see in chapter 7 is the voice of sin, the voice of darkness, the voice of deceit, the voice of death. And then in chapter 8, you have the voice of our Savior, the voice of light, the voice of truth, the voice of life eternal. And when you really boil it down, you have in chapter 7, the voice of Satan speaking and the voice of Jesus himself. And there's an incredible contrast. If you look at chapter 7, the unfaithful wife moves covertly at dusk in darkness and speaks falsely. In chapter 8, wisdom moves out in the open publicly and speaks directly and authoritatively, speaking the truth. Unlike the smooth, seductive, deceptive speech of the unfaithful woman, wisdom speaks rightly. Her speech is straight and true, not twisted or crooked. The adulteress leads her victims to slavery, impoverishment, and death. Wisdom leads her followers to kingship, wealth, and life. The unfaithful one inhabits the earthly, the ordinary, the mundane. Wisdom soars in heaven above space and time. The house of the unfaithful one is a death trap, but the mansion of wisdom is abundant and eternal life. In our chapter today, wisdom is speaking to us in such a way, and she is personified as the Lady Wisdom. She's speaking to us in such a way as to win our heart, to be the love. She wants to be the love of our lives. And of course, really, this is Jesus Christ who is speaking to us today, who is the wisdom of God, and he is speaking to win our heart. He is speaking to us in such a way so that we will embrace him as the love of our lives. And all through the chapter, you hear this language of love, and you hear this language of wisdom drawing us to herself, wisdom drawing us to embrace her. You see that, look at a few verses, look at chapter 8, look at verses 10 and 11. Wisdom says, take or embrace my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Look at verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Look at verses 34 and 35. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Now that language is almost identical. You don't have to turn there, but in chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Verse 33 says, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And so wisdom, personified as this beautiful, elegant, glorious lady, is speaking to us. And of course, she represents Jesus Christ. And wisdom is saying that whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Seek diligently for me. Search for me. Watch daily at my gates. Wait beside my door. She's calling to us in this chapter to embrace her. Jesus is calling to us in this chapter to embrace him and to embrace him alone. I don't know about you, but, you know, just if you're married today, try to think back to that time when you were pursuing your wife. That language of watching daily at my gates and waiting beside my doors. You know, that kind of describes the pursuit, the going after, the diligently seeking, the diligently waiting and watching. And so I remember when I was dating, I kind of knew when she would be at a certain, I knew when she would be at school, and I knew, okay, she's going to be at her locker here, and you know, and I know she's going to be, when we were in college, I know she's going to be in the bookstore at this time. Working at the bookstore. And so I'm just going to have to wander over to the bookstore at that particular time. Looking inside the door. And that's the language here. Jesus is saying, as he presents himself to us in this chapter, as beautiful and glorious in wisdom, he's calling us to embrace him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. He is proclaiming the beauty of his wisdom. He is declaring the blessings of his wisdom. He is calling for us today to take decisive action. He is saying, hold on to me, embrace me, and let everything else go, and I will create a beautiful masterpiece with your life. And so in our text today, Jesus Christ, personified as Lady Wisdom, will show us why we should embrace him alone. Why we should embrace him alone. And so what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to summarize some of these sections in Proverbs as we look at why we should embrace Christ alone. And the first reason why we should embrace Jesus alone and his wisdom is because no one loves us, no one loves you like Jesus loves you. No one loves you like Jesus loves you. And we see that in the first five verses. In the first five verses, Jesus, through Lady Wisdom, represented as Lady Wisdom, is calling out to us, and we see how he calls out to us. There is a passion and a zeal in his voice. It's not a, you know, that hymn, softly and tenderly Jesus is calling? You don't see that softly and tenderly. You see the raising of the voice. You see the crying out loud. And then we see the love and the concern of Jesus in the fact that he is engaging with us. He is moving. He's positioning himself to meet us right where we live in every area of our lives. Look at verses 1 through 5. He says, does not wisdom call? does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? At the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gate in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense." So where do we see wisdom? We don't see the wisdom of God. We don't see Jesus, you know, hiding away in some monastery. We don't see Jesus tucked away with the intellectual elite, the religious scholars. We don't see Jesus in the safe confines of heaven or in his home. No, we see Jesus here as wisdom out rubbing shoulders with humanity right where we live because he loves us. He's more like an elder who places his chair at the gates of the city, making himself heard in the marketplace. He's positioning himself where business and life and politics takes place, where competition for the hearts of men is the fiercest. And I like what verse 2 says. It says, "At the crossroads she takes her stand." The crossroads of life. The crossroads is that place where our hearts are being pulled in one direction or the other. The crossroads is where the competition for our hearts is the fiercest. You know, and when I think about the crossroads of our life, you know, there's a sense in which every day there are crossroads that we encounter. Every day there's a crossroads. For some of you, that crossroad might be every day after work where you're tired and you're exhausted and you have this voice that's saying to you, "Ah, you worked hard today. You deserve this. You now have the freedom to do this because you worked so hard." And so we have the deceitful voice that's calling us to engage in something that we know that we don't need to be a part of. And then we hear the voice of God, the voice of wisdom, who is also raising his voice and calling out to us because he loves us and he's saying, "No, follow me, obey me." There are crossroads. For me, a big crossroad in my life was right before my ninth grade year in high school, and I've shared my testimony. It's been a while, but it was then that I went to a teen camp. And it was at that camp where I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right before my ninth grade year of going to Kempsville Junior High. And at that particular point, I was at not just a daily crossroad, I was at a major crossroad in my life. And I believe there are times in our lives where we are faced at major crossroads where we have Jesus Christ raising his voice, calling us to follow him, and then we have the voice of the world. Sometimes it comes in our so-called friends. And that voice is calling and saying, "Hey, this is where the fun is. This is where the excitement is. This is where the good times are." And it was at that point in my life where I was at a major crossroads. And the crossroads was, in my heart and mind, either to follow Jesus or to go back and follow the way that I was living. And of course, there was the pull and the draw of wrestling and the wrestling coach coming over to my house and saying, "What is he doing? He's making a bad decision here. He needs to come back to Kempsville. This is going to be his future." And at that point, praise God by his grace, I decided that that was not the direction for my life. I have no doubt that if I had gone back at that crossroad, if I had gone in that direction, my life would not be where it is today. You see, It's because Jesus loves us that he is there, right where we live, in every area of our life. For some of you, the crossroad might be in the morning, and the voice is saying, oh, sleep in. You don't have to spend time with God before you go to work. You don't have to get up and read your Bible. You don't have to get up and spend time in prayer. You need to sleep. You need that extra rest so that you can. The voice of the flesh is saying, keep hitting the snooze button. And the voice of the Savior, the voice of wisdom, is saying, you need the strength of my word today. You need the strength of my presence today. Before you go to work, before you encounter the temptations that are going to come your way. So I believe that all through the day we experience these crossroads where the place of our hearts, the competition for our hearts is fiercest. And because Jesus loves us, he is there right where we live, and he is raising his voice because he cares for us to follow him. Another reason why we need to embrace Jesus, not only because no one loves us like Jesus, but also because we can trust Jesus to be honest and straightforward with us and to tell us the truth. We see that in verses 6 through 11. Proverbs 8, 6 through 11. Only Jesus will be honest and truthful with us. He says, hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Why should we embrace Jesus? Because we can trust him. We can trust him. There is nothing tricky or manipulative in the Bible. Every single word is true. Every single word is right. There's not one word in the Bible that is crooked, distorted, or deceitful. Or another way to say it is this: God has never said anything to us in the Word that he has to apologize for or take back. Not one word in the Bible does God have to be ashamed of, apologize for, or regret that he said it. And how many of us have to do that on a regular basis, right? Apologizing for responding in a way that we shouldn't have responded, where the flesh got the best of us. Here's what we know about the Lord. If we embrace him and we embrace his wisdom, he will never lead us astray. He will never trick us. He will never deceive us. His way will lead us. His words will lead us in the path of life. We can trust him to be straightforward with us. He says in verse 10, therefore, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. What is he saying here? He's saying we have to make a choice. You have to take one or the other. Jesus says in Matthew 6 that a man can't serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other. And the choice is God and money. And that's the choice that we see here. But it's not just money, it's the things of the world that are competing. And the Lord says, take me. Why? Because if you don't take me, if you don't embrace me, whatever else you take or embrace, it will lie to you. It will let you down. And it will lead you astray. Money, if you embrace money, you embrace silver, you embrace gold, you embrace the wealth of this world, it will let you down. It will not satisfy. It will leave you empty. If that's what you're after, if that's what you're embracing, it's just lying to you. It's lying to you. Take me, embrace me. I will never, ever let you down. We will never regret taking Jesus. We will never regret, we will never be ashamed of the fact that we embraced him with all of our heart. He will speak to us what is true. We can trust him. We can trust him. Another reason why we need to embrace Jesus in chapter 8 is because God, in his wisdom, has seen it all, knows it all, and therefore he alone is uniquely qualified to give us the direction that we need. I know that was kind of a mouthful there, but in verses 22 through 26, as we kind of jump down and we'll jump back up and hit some of those verses. But wisdom is now in verses 22 through 31. Wisdom is now seen involved with the creation of the universe. And here's what he's saying to us in verses 22 through 26. That before anything was created, before anything came into being, wisdom was there. Wisdom has complete and comprehensive knowledge of everything. Wisdom has observed creation from the very beginning. Wisdom knows the whole story. Only wisdom is uniquely qualified to counsel us correctly. Only wisdom is competent enough to guide us in the way of life, because wisdom was before the beginning and wisdom was there at creation and through it all. Look what he says in verse 22. The Lord possessed me, talking about the Lord possessing wisdom. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, wisdom was there. You know, if you want to get advice on a particular subject, if you want to get advice about your health, you want to go to a doctor that has experience in that field, a doctor who has established a reputation, a doctor who knows in the field, he knows, he's got the reputation of knowing what he's doing. And so, you know, if you've got a health concern, you're going to go to that particular doctor. If you want advice on financial matters, right, you're not going to consult a kid in high school, right? You're going to consult someone who knows what they're doing. You're going to go to a financial advisor, or you're going to listen to Dave Ramsey on Financial Peace like we did this past summer. We may, it may be offered again. Or you would want to, if you want to start a business and you're thinking about what would be involved in starting a business, who are you going to consult? You're going to consult someone who's done it, someone who's been there, someone who knows the ins and outs of it, someone who's seen what works and doesn't work, and you want to sit down and talk with them. That's the line of reasoning that the Lord has given to us here. Why should we embrace wisdom with all of our heart, all of our strength? Why should we take him alone and let everything else in this world go? Because in taking God's wisdom, in taking Jesus Christ, we are taking the one who alone is uniquely qualified to guide us in the way of life. He was before creation. He's seen how life works. He's seen what makes life work. And he's seen what makes life fall apart. He's seen that if you go in this direction, life will go well for you. But if you go in this direction, it's not going to go well for you. This morning, God is calling us to embrace Him because He's seen it all. He knows how life works. He was before creation. He alone is uniquely qualified. Let me give you a fourth reason for why we should embrace wisdom alone. Because God's wisdom created a beautiful, structured, enduring universe out of what was formless and empty. See, Genesis 1:2 says that when the earth was formless and empty, the earth was without form and void. It was empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So what did God's wisdom do with this primordial chaos, without form and void? Well, look at verses 27 through 31. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him like a master workman. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. God's wisdom, He's trying to win our hearts. He's trying to convince us to embrace Him alone. And here's what He's saying here. By My wisdom alone, I was able to take the earth that was without form and empty, and I was able to create this beautiful masterpiece. I'm the one who created the foundations of the earth. I'm the one who formed the hills and the mountains. I'm the one who created the skies and the heavens above. I'm the one who created this structured and ordered universe where we can structure our lives by the universe, right? We know the days. 24 hours in a day. The sun rises, the sun falls, our days, the seasons of the year. It's structured because the wisdom of God formed it. I mean, when you just sit back and think about the creation and how it's ordered and how it's structured and how God took what was without form and void and He made the seas, the oceans, the animals, the mountains, the fields, the plants, all the different things that we can eat. And then he structured the universe and our solar system to where it revolves around the sun and the earth rotates. It's mind-blowing that God in His wisdom did all of that out of what was without form and void. So what is God saying to us? Here's what God's saying. Because of sin, our lives are empty, without form and void. Because of sin, our lives are a mess. And the Lord Jesus is saying to us, just as I had the power with my wisdom to take this earth and universe and the galaxies that were without form, and I was able to create such beauty and structure and order, I can do the same thing with your life. I can do the same thing with your life if you will embrace Me alone. If you will take Me alone. You see, we can only take one thing. There's only room for one. Jesus will have no rivals. If we embrace Jesus alone, if we embrace Him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus has promised that I will come, and in My wisdom, I will begin to remake your life. I will make you a new creature, He says. in Christ Jesus. He's trying to win our hearts today, to embrace Him. Boy, we see so many examples of Jesus doing that in the New Testament. One who comes to mind is Mary Magdalene. Luke 8 says that Mary Magdalene was the one who had seven demons in her, and Jesus cast them out. And you know who Jesus appeared to? Who was the first one that Jesus appeared to when He rose from the dead? Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. You see, Mary Magdalene embraced Jesus. Jesus, you're my world. You're my life. And you see the beauty, you see the structure, you see the order, you see how Jesus began to rework her life. That's what Jesus alone can do that. The same God who did that with the universe will do that today with your heart and your life. Maybe today you're thinking, man, my life is a mess. My life is just, it's falling apart at the seams. Jesus is saying, if you will let go of the things of this world, if you will let them go and you will embrace me, I will come in my wisdom, in my grace and mercy and love, and I will remake you anew. I will restructure your life. I'll make you a new creation, a beautiful creation. My glory will shine through your life. He begins that work in this life, but boy, He's got something in store for us, doesn't He? One day we're going to be glorified. One last reason why we should embrace Him, and it's found in the last few verses. Why should we embrace Him? Because He has promised that He will bless us. It's a beatitude. Verses 32 through 36. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. Self-inflicted wounds. If we don't find Him and embrace Him. All who hate me love death. He's promised that if we will find Him, seek Him, pursue Him, embrace Him, He's promised that He will bless us. I want you to turn to chapter 3 and verse 8 to see what a definition of being blessed by God is. In chapter 3 and verse 8, verses 7 and 8, he says in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, turn away from evil. In other words, turn away from evil and turn to the Lord and embrace Him. And if you do, it will be healing to your flesh, or literally healing to your navel and refreshment to your bones. That's a picture of complete and total healing. Physical, mental, spiritual well-being. The navel represents the outer healing. The bones represent the inward healing. In other words, it's just another way of saying that if you will turn away from embracing the things of this world, your sinful, selfish ways, and you will turn and embrace me, I will bless you completely from head to toe, outward, inward, physically, mentally, spiritually. I will begin to remake you anew. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want that. And those of us who have walked with Jesus and have been embracing Jesus, we can raise our hand and testify, yes, praise God, He has done that for me. He has done that. He has begun this process of blessing me completely, totally, physically, mentally, spiritually. And not saying that if you accept Jesus that He's going to heal you of all ailments. That's not what I'm saying, but There is a physical dimension. You know, when you are walking outside of God's will, it affects you physically. It affects you in a lot of ways. And when you accept Jesus and you begin to follow him, there is a healing and refreshment and a blessedness that you can't get anywhere else. It only comes from our Savior and Creator. And so today, Jesus Christ, personified as this beautiful lady of wisdom, says to us, seeking to win our hearts, seeking to win our love, seeking to win our affection, just as a husband and a wife, a husband pursues that wife and he says, forsaking all others, I take you. That's what Jesus is saying to us today. Forsaking all others, Jesus, I embrace you. I embrace you. This morning, that's the call. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, Jesus, as he seeks to win our hearts, and he gives us reasons for why we should embrace him alone. Maybe today the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. And maybe today you realize that, you know, that's what I want. I'm tired of messing around. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of just trying to keep Jesus at a comfortable distance. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, my all, my everything. Or maybe you're a Christian today and for whatever reason, maybe you've gotten your eyes off the Lord and maybe today he's calling you to come back. Come back to him. However, God is speaking to you. We want to give you an opportunity to respond today. We're going to sing here in just a second after I pray. And if you'd like to come down and pray or have somebody to pray with you or help you with some of the things, we'd love to do that this morning. Father, we just pray now that through the Holy Spirit that you would just move upon our hearts. Lord, the truth of your word, so powerful today, your word, Lord. How beautiful and glorious and convincing is your wisdom. And Lord, for those of us who have embraced you, we testify today to the truth of Proverbs 8. And Lord, for those in our service who haven't done that, God, we pray that this would be the day where they embrace you with all their heart and all their soul and strength. And so, Lord, just move in a powerful way, and we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.